Okay, so I thought we'd come together and speak a little bit. It's hard to speak because there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of questions, a lot of confusion. But as Yidden, we always need to come together, whatever happens. We always need to be strong, and we always need to remind ourselves that as Yidden, as Am Yisrael, one thing is not an option, and that is despair or giving up hope or losing emunah. It's just not an option. There's a little saying in the Gemara. It's a very legalistic Gemara. The Gemara talks about when someone loses an article, and like a lost article, and you find the lost article on the street, if you think the person has given up hope, it's called yush. In halacha, yush means when you know the person's given up hope, if you can take the article, and normally the halacha is, if you know someone's given up hope of ever finding the article, you can take it. But then there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about what happens when there's something al pi halacha called yush shaloi midas, which means not conscious yush, means the person doesn't know that he's lost it yet. Like, how do you know the person's given up hope? Maybe he doesn't know if he's lost the article. So there's a whole machloikas over there. But if that's considered yush or not considered yush halachically. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because I think it was the Kotzke Rebbe who said he took the phrase and he used it as like a play on words, and he said that yush shaloi midas, which means yush, giving up hope, is shaloi midas. It's not something that can be entertained on any level, right? It's not a normal thing to do. As Jews, we don't have yush. We don't give up hope ever. So what we do is we come together at a time like this, which is a time not to ask questions or to try and understand or to seek answers, but it is a time to really turn inwards and to ask ourselves, what are we supposed to do? What does Hashem want us to do? And what does the Torah instruct us to do? That's how Yidden operates. So, what I'm going to say, obviously, I'm sure many of you know already and understand and have heard many times, but nevertheless, I think it's important to re-look at these things and re-internalize these things. So, I think there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that sums it up. I'll give it a handout because we're just learning a little bit together. Torah is good to learn together, especially at such a time. We'll talk about it a little bit later. And Yirmiyahu in Perek Lamed Pasuk Zayin says, he talks about a great day that is coming. But I'm looking more at the second half of the pasuk. And it says, Hoyki Godel Hayom Hu Me'en Komoyu. And then says Yirmiyahu, Ve'eis Tzorohi LeYakov. It's a time of great distress, a time of great trouble for Yaakov, obviously representing, meaning the Jewish people. Umimena yivoshaya, and from it, from this trouble, he will be saved. Why I think it's such an unbelievable pasuk is like this, because I think there's three things we need to do. One is, I'll just mention them quickly, and then we'll go into each one. First thing is, we need to know that it's the Eis Tzorohi LeYaakov. Shouldn't be in denial, we should know and be sensitive to the fact and acknowledge the fact that it's a Tzorah LeYaakov. It is a time of unprecedented Tzorah LeYaakov in many ways. On the other hand, we need to be mechazik, we need to strengthen our emunah and our bitochin, as the second half of the pasuk says, umimeno yivashaya, from it he will be saved. So that's the second part of the pasuk. Both parts of this pasuk are terribly important. Eis Tzorohi LeYaakov, it's time of tzara for Yaakov, but at the same time, umimena yivashaya. And then of course, the third thing we have to ask ourselves to do, well, if that's the case, what are we supposed to do? What's the behavior? What are we supposed to, how are we supposed to respond? So let's go through all these three things in a bit more detail. Eis Tzorohi LeYaakov. So we need to be sensitive to the fact that it's an Eis Tzara, it's a time of tzara for Klal Yisrael, for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. And obviously with the obvious knowledge, with the obvious appreciation for the fact that we are one people. Every neshama, every soul is connected on so many different levels. I'm not only talking about the fact that so many people, family-wise and friend-wise, are so connected to so many people there, and so on and so forth. But even on a spiritual level, we know we are completely connected. To use the words, you know, often on Tuesday morning at this time, we learn a bit of Tanya, the famous words of the Bala Tanya. If you ever look at number two, he talks about the concept of how we have Avas Yisrael and how we connect to each other. And he said it comes from the neshama. And he says the following words. If we look at number two, he says, V'ha-nefesh v'ha-ruach, the nefesh as opposed to the body, says the soul and the spirit of every yid, mi yoideya gedulosan u'malosan, who knows their worth and their greatness, b'sharshan in their source, u'makoyron v'lekim chayin, in their source, in their divine origin. His point he's making there is, you don't know which soul is better than the other, you don't know how different, you know, we're not different when it comes to the soul. B'shegam shekulam mas'imo, he says, because we need to take into account the fact that we're all connected. V'av echad l'kulono, we have one father. V'loch nikru kol Yisrael achim mamish, and that's why all Yidden are called mamish brothers. Mitzad shoyrish nafsham b'hashem echad, because of their divine origin in the one God. Rak shehagufim mechulokim, only the bodies are mechulok, only the bodies are separate. So our bodies are separate, our bodies are different, but our neshom is mamish one. And therefore, when we understand that, and when we internalize that, we understand that the pain of one yid is the pain of every yid. An attack of Eretz Yisrael is an attack on everyone. The suffering of people in Eretz Yisrael is our suffering, Kol Yisrael. And that's an important thing to acknowledge. Eis Tzara Hi LeYaakov. Why is that important to acknowledge? Because we need to think about that in the next coming days, things shouldn't be normal. We shouldn't have what Chazal called Hesach Hadas. Hesach Hadas is a halachic term, which we use when you're like distracted from something. You know, like if you got distracted in the middle of davening and you forgot where you are or something, or you weren't concentrating on your tefillin, whatever the case is, that's a halachic term used very often. And that's something that we can't have. We can't be Masiach Das. We can't remove our consciousness. We can't remove our attention from what's going on, because it is our problem. It is Klal Yisrael's issue. And when we say that we shouldn't have Hesach Hadas, we have to understand that doesn't mean to become paralyzed. That's not a Jewish concept. Chas v'shalom. What it does mean is that there's a sense of urgency. In other words, things can't be 100% normal. Right? We can't just go about our lives in a normal way. We need to, you know, sometimes there's a danger that when something takes a little bit long, which Chas v'shalom it shouldn't, but it might take a little bit long, we sort of get used to it. Human beings are very good at that. We adapt, which has its advantages. But we can't adapt. We can't adapt. Until this is seen through with Hashem's help, with the big nisim, we can't adapt. We have to be thinking about it. Again, not in a way where we create emotional paralysis, but in a way where we understand that it's an urgent time. It's time we have to do something different. It's a time we have to be more sensitive. It's a time we have to just leave alone a little bit the silly things of life and the maybe the fun things of life. I mean, obviously, every person has to do what they have to do, but as we go through this, we have to just be with those people that are going through it physically, and be with each other who are all going through it in a very spiritual. I think that's part of the pasuk, the first part of the pasuk where Yirmiyahu points out and is identifying the fact that yes, Eis Tzara Hi LeYaakov, it is an Eis Tzara. We need to know that. It is exactly what it is. But at the same time, Umimeno Yivasher. At the same time, we need to know that we're going to be saved from this. And that's that two words of that pasuk is really telling us that this is a time to be mechazek, to strengthen emunah and bitachon. So let's go into emunah and bitachon. Is a huge topic, right? I mean, it's a topic that can take months. But let's just highlight some of the important parts to understand and remember what we mean when we talk about emunah and bitachon. And the way to understand it, I think, is this. We have to always understand, Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, we're not a rational nation. Right? That's true on all levels. Our existence is not natural. Our existence is supernatural. We know that historically. The fact that we're still here is a ness. But also the way we serve Hashem. We don't serve Hashem. Obviously, we use our brain because that's what we need to do. We need to learn Torah. We need to understand the mitzvahs as much as we possibly can. We need to always think and learn and understand and reflect and so on. But our essence, our real identity, is not rational. It's higher than rational. And therefore, as explained in many, many Svarim, we need to always understand that we are capable, as a people, of being irrational. What do I mean by that? We're capable of combining opposites at the same time. It's a very important perspective to have, particularly at a time like this. It's a little bit like the miracle that was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chazal tell us that when the Beis HaMikdosh was standing, the holiest spot of the Beis HaMikdosh was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was the Aron, particularly the first Pesach Mikdash, right? And we know that throughout history, there's been many, many miracles. But there was a certain miracle, a famous thing, there was a certain miracle that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and took place in the Holy of Holies. There was a different type of miracle altogether. The famous, one of the Rishonim, the Rashba, talks about it. And this was a miracle called the Nimna HaNimnois. It was the impossible of all impossibles. What was the miracle? The miracle was that the Aron, the Ark, took up space and didn't take up space at the same time. It's called in Lashon Kodesh, Mokem HaOron Eino Min Amido. Just to explain it, so if you have an area called the Holy of Holies, and you have the Aron in the middle, right? So the way it worked was if you measured from one side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the other wall, there was a certain measurement. But then if you measured from one side to the beginning of the Ark, of the Aron, and from the other side of the Aron to the end, it was the same measurement. So let's say if this thing was 20, then from either side would be 10, which doesn't make any sense, because it means that the Aron had certain measurements, right? So the Aron took up space, it took up space, and didn't take up space at the same time. It's called, as I said, the Rashba refers to this as Nimna HaNimnois, something we can't relate to. We can understand that it's natural for a sea to flow and then it doesn't flow, all of a sudden becomes a wall. The sea splits. Right? But this is something that is not irrational, it can't be comprehended, it can't be internalized in the rational mind. And it's what we call, also we refer to it as a noisei hafochim. It's the combination of opposites at the same time. Something that's completely not rational. You can't have opposites at the same time. However, a yid who has a neshama, right? A yid who has a neshama, and that neshama is one with Hashem, because how is that miracle in the Kodesh HaKadosh impossible? That miracle is possible because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited. He's not limited by being finite. He's not limited by being infinite. He himself can transcend all different opposites and can combine opposites. And that's coming from Hashem. And therefore that miracle in the Kodesh HaKadosh, we are explained, came from the essence of Hashem who transcends all limitations and therefore can combine opposites. A yid and a shomer of a Jew who's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one with Hashem also can combine opposites. And we can live with opposites. So what does that mean? So it came to light a little bit this past Simchas Torah morning. And I was thinking about it afterwards, right? So on Simchas Torah morning, we all knew what was happening. We didn't know the details maybe. But we all knew how serious the matzav is, how serious the situation is. And yet we got up to say Hallel, which is an interesting thing. It was an interesting thing. But what do? We speak, you know, Hallel is normally a joyous occasion and it's a time of praising Hashem and thanking Hashem and so on and so forth. And it was a kind of funny feeling getting up to say Hallel when such a thing is going on. But it's interesting that we preface the Hallel by a bracha. We preface the Hallel by saying, we're blessing Hashem, Asher Kedushonu b'mitzvosav, and He sanctified us with His mitzvahs, v'tzivonu, and He commanded us to say Hallel. Now, think about it, you know, Hallel doesn't really need a commandment. Hallel is a natural thing. We should always praise Hashem and thank Hashem. But there are some times that we need to be commanded to say Hallel. And we say Hallel not because we're in the mood of saying Hallel, we say Hallel because that's what Hashem wants us to do. And what happens in Hallel? You know, just certain things, both in the psukim of the Hakafis and the words of the Hakafis and the words of Hallel, this Simchas Torah suddenly took on just a whole new relevance. It took on just a whole new meaning, right? So a very interesting thing happens in Hallel. Have a look at the handout. There's a capital, the last chapter of Tehillim we say in Hallel. So Hallel is a number of chapters of Tehillim. And the last chapter of Tehillim that we start in Hallel starts with the pasuk in number 3. Hoidu Lashem ki toiv ki la'olam chastoi. Right? We thank Hashem for He is good because His blessing is eternal. Then suddenly in the middle, I mean in the Siddur it looks like different chapters, but it's not, it's all part of one chapter. In the middle we scream out to Hashem, Ono Hashem Oishiyana, please Hashem save us. Save us means things aren't good. Right? And then the pasuk ends, the same kapitel Tilim, that chapter of Tilim, and that's where we end Hallel, ends with again saying, Hoidu Hashem ki toiv, thank you Hashem for His good, for His kindness is eternal. So what does that mean? So I think that flow, Hoidul Hashem Kitoiv, Ono Hashem Oishiyono, and then again Hoidul Hashem Kitoiv, sums up two words that we have to work on now in a very, very big way. One is Emunah, and the other is Bitochen. Emunah means to believe in Hashem, Bitochen means to trust in Hashem. So what does that mean? Emunah, we know Emunah is a constant. Emunah is something that we always believe in Hashem no matter what happens. Right? This is the DNA of a Yid. We know that Chas v'Shalom, if someone suffers a tremendous loss and a tremendous tragedy, what's the first thing we do? We say, Yizgadal v'Yizkadash Shmei Rabbah. We say Kaddish. We say that Kaddish has nothing to do with Neshama or death or anything like that. Kaddish has to do with declaring that Hashem's name is great and should be great and should be praised. Why? Because the DNA of a Yid is that no matter what, we believe in Hashem. Not always easy, but that's what we do. Even though we know that Nistorium Darkei Hashem, that the ways of Hashem are often hidden, but nevertheless, we don't know. We don't know the reasons. We can't know the reasons. We don't know why Hashem allows certain things to happen. What we do know is that everything comes from Hashem. And what we do know is that ultimately Hashem is in charge and everything He does is for the good. Sometimes it's unfathomable to understand what that means. Because sometimes things happen, as they have in the last number of days, which are completely evil in terms of the deeds of the human beings that do them. But the fact is that we know as Yidden that Hashem is in charge and Hashem allows it to happen and we just have to have a munah. Right? And that's maybe the first Hoydel Hashem Kitoy. The first Hoydel Hashem Kitoy that we say in that chapter of Tehillim is we acknowledge that Hashem is good. Now that's not always revealed. You know, it's interesting, I just heard a word as a tefillah we say every Shabbos called Avarachamim, where we remember the martyrs of all the generations and so on, right? So we say Avarachamim, right? And the next word is, it's called Avarachamim, Shoychein Meroimim. Avarachamim means the merciful Father, Shoychein Meroimim, who dwells in the high heavens, right? So someone asked the question, what's the connection between, what do you mean, why do we have to say then Shoychein Meroimim? So it's just like this. We start off and we say, Avarachmim, Hashem is the merciful Father. Sometimes we don't actually see the mercy. Sometimes the mercy seems a lot hidden. So we say, Shoychein Meroimim, because He dwells in a different reality. He dwells in a different world. We don't understand, nor should we understand. And we just have to believe. And we have to believe that there's some plan, there's some master plan. There's a process, there's a journey for some reason. But at the same time, where we acknowledge that, and we say that even though things are very painful, and we say, Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv Kil Oilam Chaste, that first Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv, Hashem, we also know that Hashem wants us to say, to turn to Him and say, that was until this moment. But from this moment on, Ono Hashem Hoshiyana. We are charged with davening, although we believe it's such a contradiction, it's such a combination of opposites. That's what I'm saying. A Yid can carry opposites, right? That whatever happened until now, we know is absolutely from Hashem and ultimately for the good, and we don't know why, we don't know, we can't understand, it's beyond us, and yet we almost demand from Hashem, we almost, because Hashem wants us to. And that's how we daven. The whole definition of tefillah, the whole definition of davening is, in Al Pi Halacha, is bakashas trachov, is to ask for your needs, your revealed needs, what you think is good. Not what you believe is good, but what you think is good. We have to ask for toiv aniriv anigle. So we say, Hoydul Hashem ki toiv k'leilam chaste, and this Simchas Torah we said, Hoydul Hashem ki toiv k'leilam chaste, knowing that it's not good, in a revealed way, and yes, we still acknowledge that it's good, because we have a munah, and that's what a Yid can do, a Yid has the capability to do that, and at the same time, a few seconds later, we say to Hashem, no, but it's not good enough. From now on, it has to be on Hashem Hashiyana. It has to be, you have to save us. And you will save us. And that's where Bitochen kicks in. And a Yid can also carry that combination and that contradiction almost, that what happened till now is not revealed good, at least to us, and yet we acknowledge and we are munah and we believe and accept it, and yet we cry out on Hashem Hashiyana, and right after we cry out on Hashem Hashiyana, we say again, Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv Gil Olam Chastoi. Why? That's a different Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv this time. The second Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv, if I may suggest, is the Bitochen Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv, the confidence and the real chizuk in our bitachon that it's going to be good. Until yesterday it wasn't good, that's a munah. But going forward, we are charged and we are given the capability and the ability and the koyach and this amazing strength that even though what happened till now was just unthinkable and just completely not good in a revealed way. But yet we have the bitachon that it's going to be good. Like the pasuk that we started off with. It is an es tzara hi le'Yaakov. It is a time of trouble, as Yirmiyahu says. And it's a terrible time of trouble. It's an unprecedented time of trouble. It's just, I mean, I don't have to go into details. Everyone knows the details, right? But nevertheless, we have that bitachon with strength, with confidence, even with simcha. I mean, I don't know if some of you have seen. Those images are good to see. The other ones, maybe we shouldn't see so much. But the videos of Chayalim in Israel dancing, I mean, their bitachon is beyond. Beyond. It's unbelievable. You have people, all soldiers on the border waiting for orders. What are they doing? Dancing. Am Yisrael Chai. The bitachon, the confidence, the videos of people speaking that we're going to natzeach, we're going to be victorious. It's going to help. Hashem's going to help us. It's going to be good. I didn't happen until yesterday. Whatever happens in the past, we accept. We have unbelievable emunah. But we know as a yid, our charge is to strengthen our bitachon. And because the pasuk says, "V'haboteach b'Hashem chesed yisoy v'vendem." If you have bitachon in Hashem, kindness surrounds you. The actual bitachon, as much as we can try and work in it, brings the bracha, brings the Yeshua, brings the salvation. So yes, on the past, we have emunah, and the Gemara tells us we have to accept. And the Gemara tells us when things happen that aren't bad, k'shem shemavarchin ala ro, ala toiva, just like you make a bracha, ha-toiva, ha-meitim, on things that are good, so too you have to make a bracha with the same heart and the same acceptance and the same simcha, even Rashi says over there, which is very fascinating, that we make a different bracha. It's a bracha of pain, dayana emes, right? But nevertheless, from this moment on, we absolutely have to have complete bitachon. Together with acknowledging the pain, together with the Eis Tzar Yaakov, we have to have the simcha. And our neshama can do this. We are noisaf achim. It's the oran that takes up space and doesn't take up space at the same time. We can do two things. The Zohar says this, that we can cry and laugh at the same time. We can feel the pain and shouldn't go bad as normal, and yet still have the simcha and the bitachon that Hashem is going to... Why? Because we cry out to Hashem, on Hashem, and then we say again the second time, because it's going to be revealed chesed, it's going to be revealed good. I saw this happen, if I can just share my own feeling a little bit, this past Simchas Torah in this room. Obviously, when we got to know about the whole thing just before our coffers on Simchas Torah, so someone tapped me on the shoulder and told me what happened. And obviously, what went through our mind is, what do we do now? What does Hashem want us to do now? That should be the response of a yid. What are we supposed to do now? Cancel our coffers? Not an option, really. Our coffers is part of Avodas Hashem. It's part of what Hashem wants us to do. And number one. Number two, that's exactly what we shouldn't let the enemies do. This was enough that what they destroyed physically, but to destroy, as Mrs. Hirsch reminded me a few times during Simchas Torah, we should not let them have that victory. At the same time, it can't be normal like office. So we said Tillim and we spoke about it, and we said sometimes you have to cry out to Hashem on Yom Kippur through one way, on Simchas Torah a different way. So we have to cry out to Hashem through the dancing and through even more simcha. And I saw people who were unbelievable. What happened, I mean, I'm sure it happened to other shuls too, but what happened here was just incredible. Just the seriousness and the simcha happening all together was just unbelievable. It was different. There was no question, it was different to other years. But it was stronger than other years. Because that's what a yid does. A yid never loses hope. And especially going forward, even though we know that what happened till now is terrible, and we acknowledge that and we don't deny the pain, but going forward we have that pitachon of on Hashem Hashina resulting in revealed good, the second hoidel Hashem ki toiv k'la'ilam chaste. And then I mentioned the Simchas Torah morning, but I'll mention it again. I went home Simchas Torah night, and I was still, you know, I was processing in my mind. I mean, it's you know, you lead a shul, it's your responsibility, and I wanted to get some chizuk for myself. Was this the right thing? Did we do the right thing? I was pretty sure we did, but you know, what's the, like, so I decided to look up, to go back 50 years, and to go back to Toshin Lamedal in 1973, when the Kippur War woke out. And I remember, I was a kid then, but I remember it happening, I remember very well. And I remember that the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a lot of talks then, subsequently in the few weeks after. I said, you know what, let me get some inspiration. I'm going to open up the Fabrengans, they're all transcribed, and I'm going to have a look. And I saw, I'm going to share with you just two amazing things. One was, What happened was, it happened Yom Kippur, as we know. And they knew about it in America, really, Yom Kippur afternoon, before Ne'ilah. And then a few days later, on the night before Sukkot, Erev Sukkot, the Rebbe held a Fabrengen. I'll just give you context. The Rebbe always, very often, used to hold a Fabrengen the night before Sukkot, because for two reasons. First of all, was the Motzei, the 13th of Tishrei. The 13th of Tishrei is the Yahrzeit of one of the Chabad Rebbes, the Rebbe Marash, and so on. And also Erev Sukkot, like as a preparation for Sukkot. So I looked up that was the first public talk after the war had broken out, and I looked up, I'm mentioning this also because it's got to do with the time that we're in right now, in the calendar. So he started the Fabrengen, mentioning that it's Erev Sukkot and it's Yartov and Marash, and then he posed the question right away. And he said, we have to ask ourselves the question, how can we have a Fabrengen? A Fabrengen is like a joyous event. When Yidden are at war, that was his question. How do we do that? And he answered an interesting thing. He said that the way Avodas Hashem works, so he brought an example from davening, right? You know, we have certain days during the year that we say Tachnun. Tachnun is like a mini Yom Kippur every day. Like we say, you know, we Roshamdo, we confess our sins, we ask Hashem for forgiveness. It's like a bit of a serious moment of each day. One could describe it as like the quick mini Yom Kippur of each day, right? And then there are days we don't say Tachnun. Why? Because Tachnun is not such a joyous thing, I mean, on a simple level. And what happens is that on like, let's say, days of Yontif, days of Shabbos, days of special days, days that are more joyous, days that we're in now, for example, the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, during Sukkot and now, we don't say Tachnun until the end of Tishrei. So we don't say Tachnun. Why? Because it's joyous days. So you ask the question, but if that's the case, that's like a strange thing. Either we need the Tachnun or we don't need the Tachnun, right? If you need the Tachnun, so why don't you say it on special days? Why? What's wrong in getting forgiveness on Shabbos? Or we can't be forgiven on Shabbos? I mean, whatever we have to believe is Tachnun is not just words. When we say Tachnun, something is accomplished, obviously. We bring down a certain bracha from heaven. We bring down a certain forgiveness. We accomplish something big. Every time we say Tachnun, so what does that mean? Just because it's joyous today. So nowadays, because it's special days, it's the end of Tishrei, for example, that we don't say Tachnun, are we losing out? And he said, no, of course not. The answer is that whatever, normally on a regular day, you say Tachnun to accomplish something. On days you don't say Tachnun, you accomplish the very same thing by not saying Tachnun. In other words, you accomplish that same thing by Simcha, with confidence. You are connecting to Hashem even better, because when you say Tachnun, he said, sometimes it's like, you know, you mean the words, you don't know the words, sometimes the person's in a rush, they just knock it off, you know, so sometimes it's a good Tachnun, sometimes it leaves a bit to be desired. But when there's a day you don't say Tachnun, the pshat is it's done without you saying Tachnun. They're not saying Tachnun, that everyone can do perfectly. Right? We don't say Tachnun because of the Simcha, so it's accomplished. So he said, on the contrary, it was very in line with the whole idea, right? That now we have to come together, it's days of Simcha, meaning it was days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and during Sukkot. By the way, he spoke about this throughout the whole month, and like he didn't distract from the whole Eretz Yisrael thing for the whole war for 1 second. But he said the Avoida is that a Yid can do these two things. Taka, of course, it's a time of troubles, time of war, but we can cry out to Hashem with the Simcha. Right? I think that's the same idea we're talking about now, especially in these days. We still in these days have no Tachnun. The Tishrei days are still very special. We're almost finished Tishrei in another week, but it's still very, very special days. And therefore, this concept we spoke about before about strengthening our bitochen and through the confidence and through the simcha and through the thing, Eisar Yaakov, acknowledging the pain and having being mechazik our emunah and accepting those things, those terrible things that have already happened. But at the same time, a yid can combine opposites. We can actually have that confidence and that morale and that chizuk to strengthen our emunah and to say the second Hoydul Hashem Kitoiv with an absolute bitochen and emunah that it's going to be good. And that's a yid. Incidentally, I'll just mention one other thing that he said, just especially with people who have sons in the army and so on. So a few days later, on the Shabbos Chol HaMoed, he spoke about the war again a lot. Talked about the idea that when you didn't go to war, also the idea of confidence is so important. There's an interesting pasuk in Devarim, which says, "Ki seitzei la melchoma al oivecha," when you go to war against your enemies. And the expression the pasuk uses is "al oivecha." It's interesting, it's grammar. Normally, when you say, when you go to war with your enemies, it should say, Kiseitzel al-Mochama, when you go out to war, im oivecha, with your enemies. It doesn't say that. It says, Kiseitzel al-Mochama, al-oivecha, on top of your enemies. Because when you go to war, both physically and spiritually, you have to go with confidence, knowing, al-oivecha, that Hashem is going to help you. You already won the war. You've won it. You're just going to do it. Right? It's there. And that's such an important thing to know. By the way, it's important on a very, besides a spiritual level, it's also important on a very mundane or simple, emotional level. We've heard many times, in previous times, and now too. I just saw a video yesterday from a chayal talking. He says that it's so important that we stay strong. He said that the morale on the chayalim is unbelievable. That's what I heard him say. And then he said, everyone has to be like that. Why? Because if we like that, it strengthens them. When they know that we are bitachon, that we mamash trust, and we believe, umimeno yivashaya, like the pasuk says, that you'll be saved from this tzara, it strengthens them as well. That's not just, it's not just a spiritual thing, which it is. Because bitachon brings bracha. But also on a very simple level, that it strengthens Klal Yisrael. We strengthen each other. We don't, falling into a despair is not, it's just not an option in Yiddishkeit, as I said before. Right? So we just have to be mechazik bitachon. Things happen till now, that's emunah. Emunah and bitachon just go together. It's one equation. Sometimes it means a little bit of opposites. That's what a Yid is. We either Orem Kodesh. We are mokem ma'orim enam and amido. We could take our space and not take our space at the same time, which doesn't make any sense, but we're not a rational nation. So what do we do? What's practical? So that's the hashkafa, I think. That's the mindset. So what do we do? So first of all, I think it's really, really important, and I know this is so obvious and it's almost cliched, but it's important to mention again and again and again. Every place and every person has to do what they can do. We sitting here in Sydney need to really believe the emunah shleima. I don't know, we can't emphasize enough. But what we do makes a difference. Right? This is just a basic Yiddishkeit idea. Our thoughts, our machshava, our speech, the way we talk, and what we do creates a reality. This is what Yiddishkeit teaches us generally. Right? That's why we know Lashon Hara is such a bad thing in the negative way, right? Because it doesn't just, not just bad speech, it creates a negative energy. What we do has an effect. Everything that we do has an effect. Therefore, we have to look at ourselves. We have to reflect. And we have to think about what can we do in thought, which is what we talked about before, that confidence, that emunah, that bitachon, and so on. But what can we do also, bedibur, what can we do in speech? And what can we do in action? So in speech, obviously, there are two things we need to do. And this is just basic, again, basic response. Besides, of course, you know, the Rambam has a whole thing where he talks about that we should never ever just say something. Everything that happens, there always has to be a response. That's a basic, you know, Chas v'Shalom, the Rambam says, if anyone ever says, in Hilchos Tainis, the Rambam says that if anyone ever thinks that just something just happens, Nikra, that's really against the Buddha. I mean, nothing just happens. So everything happens needs a response. And every person has to, we don't blame anyone, we don't say there's reasons for it, there's Chas v'Shalom. Hashem has his plan and we don't know what it is. But it still needs a response, right? So we have to strengthen ourselves. In dibur, in speech, first of all, there are two basic things in Yiddishkeit that we have to do. One is Torah and one is Tefillah. Torah is interesting. The Gemara tells us, I'll just share with you a couple of ideas. The Gemara tells us in Sota that Torah is magna umatzla. It shields and it saves. It protects and it saves. So we have to learn. We have to increase in our learning. We have to increase in our learning the schus of the chayalim and the schus of those that are defending the land. Sorry, I'm just going to go back a second because I started telling you something that the Rebbe said that Shabbos Cholomay, I forgot to finish. I'm just going to read it to you. He says that we have to have that confidence. He says, Bifrat, I'm just going to read this, unbelievable. He said, especially when Bnei Yisrael are now on the level of Tzaddikim. Now, on what basis did the Rebbe say we live on Tzaddikim? I don't know about you, but I don't, right? Why? Because he says this all happened on Yom Kippur, and this time it happened on Shmini Atzeres. And by the way, there's a lot of comparisons between Shmini Atzeres and Yom Kippur. And he says, especially when we talk about the Yidden, talking about the soldiers, the Chayalim, who put themselves at risk to go and protect the Yidden, he said they are on the Madrega of Tzaddikim Gemurim. No one has the authority to say things like that, but Tzaddikim can say things like that. That's what he said. He said we need to know that they have tremendous chus, and therefore they are at the level of tzaddikim gemurim. And therefore when we learn Torah is magna matzla, we add to their protection, we add to their salvation, and therefore it's really important that over the next little while we try and increase our learning of Torah. The Gemara also, if you have a look at number 6 in your handout, there's a famous Gemara in Gittin about a whole problem that a person had with people in the neighborhood that were threatening them and so on. And he went to get advice, and the advice he was given was as follows. Based on a pasuk, but there's a whole Gemara that I'm not going to go into it. But Hashkeim v'harev alehen lebesa medrash v'in kolin ma'alehen. He said, just get up early, go to bed later, which means increase in your Torah and your besa medrash, and they will disappear. So obviously we need to do what we need to do in nature. And those in Israel who are doing what they need to do, security-wise, fighting-wise, army-wise, strategy-wise, and so on, of course, is critical. But as Yidden, we believe that's the vessel. But we need to have the godliness behind it. We need the koyach of Hashem. As the pasuk in Zechariah says, loy b'chayev loy b'koyach. The Yidden don't only win with might and strength. As we know, the Yidden never, as amazing as that Tzahal is, we have never only won. We've won with nissim and gluim. We've won with miracles because one of Hashem sending his bracha through what they're doing. And that's what we need to do. And how do we create that? We help that by trying to learn extra and learn Torah. This coming Shabbos, we read the Shabbos Bereshis. We're going to read in the Torah that what is the first thing Hashem created? Oyer, He created light. Which that light we're talking about is what we call the Or HaGanuz, the primordial light, the hidden light, which Hashem hid afterwards, right? He hid. So Chazal tell us, where did Hashem hide the Torah? Where did he hide the light? He hid it in the Torah. Says he hid it, only it'll become properly revealed when Mashiach comes, but where did he hid it in the Torah? So that's why when we learn Torah also, we connect to that Or HaGanuz, we connect to that hidden light. We connect to that clarity, we get clarity of thinking also. Another important reason why it's important for us to increase in our learning. Learning brings clarity, learning brings light, and light brings bracha. So all those things are just some of the highlights why it's so important. And when we learn in the schus of the people in Israel and Schus of the Chayalim in particular, it makes a difference. It actually makes a difference. And of course, the other thing in Dibur, in speech, is tefillah. We know tefillah is so important. We don't have to go over all shiur now on the power of tefillah, but we as Yidden believe deeply in the power of tefillah. And that's important again to remind ourselves, because sometimes we think, that, you know, with daven, is really powerful. It's really not. A tefillah of a simple Yid is extremely powerful. I'll just give you one example how we know this. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, went into the Holy of Holies, one of the holiest, most powerful moments. When the Kohen Gadol came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he said a tefillah ktsara. He said a very short tefillah. The reason why I said a short tefillah is because he didn't want to frighten the people on the outside, because there were times of the Kohanim Gadolim weren't so righteous, and they went in and didn't come out. But so he didn't want to frighten him, he said a tefillah ktsara. So he had to get it all in a few words. And there are a few things that he said. One of the things he asked Hashem, as in the coming year when the Yidden need rain, that he shouldn't accept the tefillah of a traveler in a wagon who doesn't want it to rain because it's going to get wet. Right? So what does a traveler do? He's traveling from one place to another. He says, Hashem, please don't make it rain. And that's not good for Israel. It has to rain. Right? So the Kohen Gadol davens when he comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, please Hashem, don't listen to that person's tefillah. That's an unbelievable thing. You need a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim when he's coming out, the holiest and highest moment of the year, to cancel the tefillah of a selfish guy who doesn't want it to rain because he's going to get wet. What does that teach us? That the selfish tefillah of the guy in the wagon who doesn't want to get wet is powerful. Because tefillah makes a difference. And it's possible that when a guy davens in a wagon who is ultimately, selfish, he wants it to rain just in half an hour from now when he gets home. But it's a little bit selfish. And he's a simple guy, he's a simple farmer, he's not a big tzaddik, he's not a Kohen Gadol, he's not a Novi, he's not a Melech, he's not nothing, and he's davening to Hashem, just do me a favor, can you make it not rain? That tefillah is powerful and it's very shaykh that Hashem will listen to him. And it needs the Kohen Gadol to undo it, because he didn't need rain. So therefore it's so important to understand when you take up a book of Tehillim, and when I say tefillah, by the way, tefillah is anything, any type of tefillah. Tehillim we know is very powerful. Everyone has different hogim and everyone different ways of doing things. Some people say avinu malkeinu, some say tilim, some stam daven. We can increase in our kavona in amida, whatever it is. But daven, when you have a few minutes extra nowadays, at home, with your family, with your children, in shul, whatever the case is, daven. Because we need to believe that every posuk of tilim makes a difference. It might need maybe to accomplish something, maybe to bring about certain brachas, but we need more than one posuk. Maybe we need more than one person. Maybe we need lots of people. Maybe we need millions of words of Tehillim. That's good. But we have to know that every word of Tehillim we say is contributing. It's creating the power of what we need. And Hashem listens to our tefillahs. He shomea kol trus am yisrael berachmim. He listens to our tefillah. He shomea tefillah. We say every day. Hashem listens to our tefillahs. So we have to believe that's part of the bitachim. We have to cry out to Hashem for revealed good, and we just have to increase in tilim. It's really, really important to increase in our tilim, in our davening, in any davening. But I'm just mentioning tilim because tilim is powerful. People always ask what chapters of tilim to say. There are chapters going around the WhatsApps, I'm sure you know. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. Any tilim. Obviously, there's certain ones that are very relevant, compared to couple 20, 22, 69, 121, 130, and so on, all these tilims. But any tilim is good. Because the davening of a yid, even a simple yid, is powerful. So that's in dibur, that's in speech, because what we say makes a difference. And also what we share, we should speak words of bitachon. We should share with our children and family, we should encourage confidence. We should encourage, it's going to be okay. Even if inside maybe we're skeptical. Because we're human beings at the end of the day, right? We don't only have an neshama, we have a guf also. Right? So we have not only a soul, we have a body as well. So we have to, yeah, so sometimes we have doubts, but we shouldn't let those doubts get in the way. We should say it's going to be good. We should try and think good. We should share good with others. We should inspire each other. We should inspire confidence in each other. Because Am Yisrael needs to be strong, and we have to have bitachon. That's our DNA. Emunah, acknowledge the tzara, of course. But at the same time, Emenu Yivashea, we're going to be saved, and we have that bitachon that it's going to be good. And bitachon brings the good. And finally, in action, of course, we need to look at our mitzvahs, particularly the idea of tzedakah. We know tzedakah is very, very important to give extra tzedakah. Tzedakah tatzil mimoves, it says in the Gemara. Tzedakah saves people from tragedy, from harm. And when we say tzedakah, it's not just tzedakah. In a broader sense, this is a time for Klal Yisrael, but we don't have to worry about the whole Klal Yisrael. We just have to worry about ourselves, really. Right? It's not a time to worry about other people's mitzvahs. It's a time to worry about our own mitzvahs. And a time to really reflect on our Avas Yisrael and our tzedakah, emotional tzedakah. On our connection to other people, on our oneness with other people. We can disagree with other people, that's fine. We can have different shittas, different ashkafas, different opinions, different strategies, different ideas. That's all legitimate. But we have to be one. This is the days that if anyone's got any braggers of haribu with anyone, we just need to get rid of it. We need to connect. We need to increase in achdus. We know that's very, very, very strong. We know that, I've shared this word before, but I'll just share it now again. There's the famous idea about tefillin. I mean, I know it's a man's mitzvah, but, you know, tefillin has four portions, right? Four parashas, four paragraphs. In the tefillin shel rosh, in the head tefillin, these four portions are in four separate compartments. In the yad, in the tefillin shel yad, the hand tefillin, which corresponds to the heart, it's not in four separate compartments, it's in one compartment. Why? So I once heard a beautiful word from someone, he said, because chilukei deyes you're allowed to have. Differences of opinion is fine. Four different compartments is 100% fine if it's in the head. Ideas are different. But in the heart, pirud levavus is terrible. You can't have separation in the heart. In the heart, we're all one. That's why in tefillin shel yad, it's all got to be in one box. And that's why we say in Shmoneh Esrei, let's have a look at number seven, finally. We say, famous line, we say, Borcheinu avinu, Hashem should bless us, Kulanu ke'echor, all as one. So the simple pshat is we ask Hashem at the end of every Amidah, just bless us all together. But the Mefarshim explained that it means something different. We say, Barcheinu avinu, when does Hashem really bless us? Kulanu ke'echor, when we like one. When we like one, then Hashem bless us. Achtus, shalom, peace, achtus. It doesn't mean we have to agree with people, but it doesn't matter. We have to be one. We have to be together. We have to be respectful. We have to be kind. We have to be compassionate. We have to go out of our way to help other people, to find someone that needs help, that needs assistance, emotional help, physical help, whatever it is. And help them and create that oneness, because oneness brings bracha. Barcheinu avinu kulanu ke'echad. And we shouldn't worry about that we heard in the news that in a different community someone was fighting. It doesn't matter. The Chafetz Chaim thing said that when Mashiach can come even if one community becomes Baftus. That doesn't need the whole world. We just have to think, we just have to watch ourselves. That's all. Know the power of us and our family and the little environment around us. That's all we need to worry about. We need to believe that it makes a tremendous, tremendous difference. So just the sikkum, just to conclude, therefore, just summarize. Like with everything happens, we need to mechazek our emunah. Looking at the things that already happened, which are terrible and unbelievably tragic. I mean, again, there's no words for it. Just have to mechazek our emunah. We have to daven to Hashem that all those that were killed, Hashem yinkom domam, Hashem should avenge their blood in a real strong way. All those that have been wounded, we need to daven for their refuah shleima, and Rishon Hashem will give them a proper refuah shleima. But from going forward, we need to have that bitochen, we need to mechazek, strengthen our bitochen with hope, with simcha, that it's going to be good. And that we need to daven, that it will end swiftly. We need to daven for all the chayalim. They should all come back safely and healthy. And Hashem should help that this unexpected, unbelievable interruption in things should be the last of Chevlei Mashiach. We know Yiddishkeit, we believe that there is a concept called Chevlei Mashiach. It's like labor pangs of Mashiach. We'd like to believe it all happened. We were yotzei already enough. We don't need any more. But obviously, Hashem, until today, thought a little bit different, and he did allow this to happen. And we just need to believe that this will be the last of Chevel Mashiach, and Emirat Hashem very quickly has come to an end. And we need the ultimate simcha, we need the ultimate Yeshua, the ultimate salvation, the coming of Mashiach, and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Pim Heira B'Yameinu. So I just thought we